Blog Talk Radio. Sunday. This is CNO Solutions Blog Talk Radio. It is January 15th, 2017, and I am Jennifer Ryan, your host, lifestyle strategist, professional organizer, and girl in town. It's great to be back. It's been a very productive week. I am finally, I think, completely recovered from this flu that I was suffering from. It's been almost 3 weeks. I still have a little residual congestion, but my energy level is back, and I actually feel like exercising. Haven't felt like it and or had the energy to really devote to myself, to get myself just in my daily routine, my everyday daily routine. So it's been 2.5 weeks. Wednesday will be 3 weeks, and hopefully this will be it for me. I generally don't get sick at all, so this was really a big surprise. Anyway, welcome back as we harness the positive energy to reach our potential. Everyone can reach a higher rung on the ladder, whatever that ladder might be. And it's important to figure out what it is we want. Most people don't know what they want. You know, we learn, live in the present, don't plan too much, don't overwhelm yourself, don't overburden yourself, but what is your plan? Do you have a plan B? Do you plan for the inevitable? Do you plan for the unexpected? So that's what our show is about, and that's what we're doing here week after week. We have guests that we've been speaking with to line up a schedule for you, which is going to start coming out in email form so that you know what to look forward to that we'll have here on Blog Talk Radio and our podcast. Speaking of, how can you reach Jennifer Ryan at Create New Order? CreateNewOrder.com is the website. BlogTalkRadio.com/CreateNewOrder is how you can reach me on Blog Talk Radio Live on Sunday nights between 8 and 9 p.m. And you can get all episodes on demand that have been recorded through Blog Talk Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com/CreateNewOrder. And you can simply go to iTunes and put in Create New Order, and you will find all of our back episodes available to you on demand at any time. You can download and listen at will, put it in your car, put it in your headset when you're on the subway, and listen to some of the interesting things that come to me, places I go, people I see, people I meet, people I introduce to you. All of these podcasts are on demand at iTunes and through Blog Talk Radio. Once again, the website is createneworder.com to learn about my services, who I am, upcoming programs, and products coming your way. 2017 is going to be really, really interesting and exciting at Create New Order. So tonight again is January 15th, 2017. Last night on the East Coast, we got a snow dusting. And today we were lucky enough to get to about 47 degrees during the day. It's clear night. City looks beautiful, twinkling in the winter sky. And for all my fellow coffee lovers out there, I'm drinking tonight Starbucks Italian Roast, a new feature that I'm going to be talking about what's in my cup. Most often it is coffee. Occasionally it's tea. And once in a while it might just be a brandy. Who knows? But stay tuned. I'll let you know what I'm drinking while I'm speaking with you. And always a big giant glass of water. I drink alkaline water. I drink 12 times filtered water. Alkaline is something like 9.5. Started drinking that maybe about 2 years ago, and I get it refilled at Balance and Wellness. We had a guest on, Debbie Lazinski, who lost 185 pounds, and her place, Balance and Wellness, they do the filtering, and I pick up 5 gallons at a time, and I'm healthier. I feel better drinking alkaline water. When I drink bottled water, I drink Evian on the go because it is natural spring water from the French Alps. And it has the highest bottled alkaline content that I can find, but it also has a boost of magnesium in it, which is really good for us. We're losing that in our diets. Anyway, Starbucks Italian Roast is in my cup. I don't use a Keurig. I brew with Cuisinart and a metal filter. I grind my own beans. So I have several containers on my counter with different types of coffee. And the Cuisinart does the job. Best pot ever, in my opinion. And the craft doesn't drift when you pour it, which is a huge bonus. Thanks to the Facebook group, Coffee, 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 for accepting my presence there with all of you, because I do love coffee. And if you know me, you know just how much. I'll share anything except my coffee. I'll make you a cup, but you can't drink out of mine. Let us know what your nighttime preference is. Give us a call and fill us in. We can talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Tonight we're going to talk about inspiration, we're going to talk about motivation, and we're going to talk about organization. And we're going to start now with inspiration. Inspiration is everywhere and generally not on television. Very rarely do I watch something on television that gives me an idea. Very occasionally I'll see something on television that stimulates me, like a good design set or somebody wearing something really attractive or that looks really good on them. And sometimes it's the physical fitness level of a person. But television is not my thing. I don't subscribe to television services. I do get, you know, your streaming programs online. So if I do wish to watch something, I am a binge watcher. And I will watch that way. And I do get Sling, which I'm pretty happy with. There's a low cost to Sling Live TV. It's very selective on who participates in it. And I get some programming that I watch, and I can catch up on the news every single day. I'd like a little bit more variety in the news. It only offers me a limited package of news venue. But the reason I got Sling was ESPN. So I could watch the U.S. Open, and I was very happy I did because I do get a couple of other live options that I enjoy. Anyway, back to inspiration. So let's turn the TV off. Let's talk about inspiration and how to harness our creativity and be inspired. How do we get there? Some people say, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't really know what excites me, and I don't know how to harness, you know, something that I really, really like to stimulate myself and my creative juices. How do I find that? Well, many people who are analytical or logical or highly reasonable think that they are not creative. But I firmly believe everybody is creative on some level. And it can be really through figuring can be very creative, or, you know, doing puzzles is very creative. It's a matter of finding what that is. So that seems to be the hard part, is really finding your medium. And what I've learned over the years working with so many people who try to find what they enjoy and what they love and what inspires them to do more, I often have people go back to when they were in school, primary school. Not in your college years, although college years sometimes can offer you the spark and you get bitten by some bug, whether it be theater or music or painting, something that you can let your creativity flow through. But most often it's when we are children. Children have no real boundaries. They will go anywhere and do anything. They will attempt anything if they are not guarded or discouraged, you know, by a fear that somebody else might have, an adult might have. So when children start exploring, they'll try anything. They have absolutely no concept of being perfect or excellent, or they just want to try it. And they just want to go and run and jump and climb and finger paint and play music, sing music, dance. They have no inhibition. They have no no feeling of failure. They just sort of go with it. So when somebody says to me, I don't know what really turns me on to be creative. I really don't know what to do with myself to devote my energy to something that would be creative. So I often ask them, what did you do when you were a child? What did you love when you were in school? If you were in school and, you know, book reports came out and you needed to, you know, do a book report, was it the worst thing in the world or was it exciting to you? So then maybe it's reading. Maybe it is a book club and book group and getting together with other people to discuss literature. Maybe you want to delve into a type of literature you've never read before. So maybe it's the reading, or maybe the book reports when you were in school were the worst things that could ever have happened to you. Maybe it was music when you were going to go to chorus or you're going to go to band. That was the most exciting part of the day. Maybe it was gym. Maybe it was the physical fitness end of things. Maybe it was that sort of motivation that made you happy and excited. So I suggest to you that you travel back to when you were a child, when everything was exciting. You didn't know what it was to be the best at anything. You just tried it and you enjoyed it. Why don't you go that way in your thinking and let yourself go with it? The second way of finding your medium is, what have you always admired about somebody else that you always thought was so great that they did that you could never do? You've talked yourself out of it. Now, let's go back to the book that I've mentioned before, The Untethered Soul. Stop talking to yourself that way. It doesn't matter if you're perfect. I started ballet at 48, and I'm still looking for another class in my area now that can even measure up to the Corner Dance Studio in Smithtown with Anne Mercedes. There's no way. I've gone to class after class after class, and nothing's come close to her class. She inspired me, and I keep looking because I want that feeling. I want to achieve the best that I can be dancing ballet. So why not go with something you never thought you would attempt and always wanted to do, or something that somebody you know does that you admire, that you would like to try? Why not give it a go? Why not just go out and take a workshop through a library, or take something through the Y, or sign up for a class and cost you a couple of bucks and you go and do it? What's the worst thing that's ever going to happen? You're going to have a lousy experience? I don't think you're going to have a lousy experience. If you jump in and look into a class to, say, paint, you've never picked up a paintbrush before and you want to dabble in oil painting or watercolors, go find an art league in your area and go watch a demonstration, or find an artist who's willing to teach, willing to talk about basic techniques, or just literally hand you a brush, hand you some paint and a palette and say, go for it. Start moving the brush on the canvas. Well, I don't know what to paint. Doesn't matter. Think about the canvas, that blank space in front of you, and start moving the brush. Think about shapes. Think about form. Think about maybe a house on the beach. Think about simply a flower. The brush and the paint, and put it on the canvas and see what happens. See if you enjoy it. See if you disappear into it. See if you really think that this is something you want to pursue. Give it a few hours of your time. Finding your medium sometimes can be overwhelming. It could seem impossible. Maybe it's taking photographs. Who knows? Knitting? These are all creative outlets. These are all ways for you to express yourself other than just speaking. So I suggest to you that find inspiration in just looking for the medium that interests you. Find something to focus on. Read about it. Look it up. Watch some YouTube videos. do something that will excite you about the discovery. And as you learn about something, if you can't keep reading about it or can't keep learning about it, or it starts to become boring just searching around, go to something else. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe you're not so great a cook. Maybe you're a great cook and you want to get better. Maybe it's cooking, another creative medium. So start searching for the medium first. That is the best way to start to become inspired in a direction of finding what it is you want to do. And bring a journal. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're a complete smartphone person and you love to put all your notes in your smartphone, or you're a person who puts notes in the smartphone and then can't find them after, you know, a couple of days pass by or you forget all about them. Personally, I'm both. I use the smartphone, make my notes. Mostly, I make my notes in my smartphone. I have journals. I carry a book all the time. I have a book on my desk in business, and I have a book for personal. And I write down ideas. I write down things that I'm going to do. I write down people I want to talk to. I write down ideas, constantly writing down ideas. It helps me center my thoughts. I have a blackboard right here in my office that I'm looking at that has the things that I want to talk about in my book. And my book should be coming out soon, very soon. Every day I'm working on that book to get it out to you by popular request. But I have on the blackboard the things that I want to work on, or the things that I'm going to do tomorrow, that it's broken up in time blocks so that I know I can manage getting it all done, but I also can stay stimulated as I have to do some of these things that are chores. But I write things down that are in front of me. I tend to be a visual person. I want to be interacting with the things that I have to do. So a journal works for me. The smartphone works for me, mostly for alarms. I like to put alarms in the smartphone, especially for calendar dates, to remind me what I need to do next and what's coming up tomorrow. It's essential to have the reminders because I am always on the go. Even when I'm relaxing, my mind is going, and that's why I carry a journal, and I like to have my alarm so that I don't forget something that I'm going to do. Now, the third thing that I'm going to bring up about inspiration and how to harness inspiration or gain inspiration or learn about what your vehicle is, where it is your way of being creative, finding your medium, is create a space for yourself to work in. I have a home office, but I also have a corner. I have my reading corner, my cozy chair, little table that looks out a window, has my vision board in full sight, so that my creative juices or my writing can be done there. It's a quiet corner, and it's all mine. Nobody shares that. It's all about me and what I want to accomplish, and it gets done from that spot. So create those spaces. Bring a journal so that you can really look at things written down in ink that might inspire you just to see it written down. I recommend writing things down. Don't make intentions and let them fly around in the air. Write them down and make them purposeful. This will inspire you. This will give you the drive, the motivation to reach for the things that you want in your life. This is all part of building the interesting you that you want to be. This is all part of building the interesting life, and these are all stepping stones that will take you to your end game. Now, we'll talk about the end game when we get to the motivation segment of our show tonight, but I'm looking at the time, and it goes so quickly, really, really quickly. Inspiration is everywhere. It just really turn off outside influences. Get some really good sleep, exercise, take 5 minutes every single day and stretch, then start adventuring into your life with a journal, looking for your medium. Don't just say, someday I want to. Today's the day. Write down what you want, even if it's frivolous and scary, and do it. Start researching and finding the things that are going to make you happy and enhance your life. It is so important to work to live, not live to work. Do what you always dreamed of. Today is day one. I'm going to take a really, really quick break and take a big gulp of water, and we'll come back and we're going to get right down to Girl in Town. Give me 1 second. There we go. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, and this is Jennifer Ryan of CNO Solutions Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, bensound.com, for the music for our show that we use in as the introduction and the fade out, as well as the breaks during the show. I tell you, I have found some great music on their site, and they're worth a visit if you're going to do a show or create a program for unlicensed music. Eventually, someday, maybe we'll compose something ourselves, another creative outlet to look forward to. I am Jennifer Ryan, your host for CNO Solutions Blog Talk Radio, www.createneworder.com. All our episodes, if you can't join us live, are on podcast through iTunes and through Blog Talk Radio /Create New Order. Thanks for coming back, January 15th, 2017. I can't believe it. Time is just flying by. Girl in Town. This is pretty exciting. 2.5 weeks ago, when I came down with the flu, one of the adventures I took was to Holy Name Medical Center emergency room at 2:30 in the morning. My throat was so swollen that I was in such pain, I was really scared. Never before in my life did I feel so bad. So Holy Name Medical Center, what an excellent facility. They took me in on an emergency basis. They treated the swelling in my throat, and unfortunately, or fortunately, they did take a culture, and it wasn't strep throat, so no antibiotics. So like I said, 2.5 weeks later, I think I'm finally on the mend from whatever this flu that knocked me down was all about. But Holy Name Medical Center, it is definitely a place that I recommend as far as the emergency room is concerned. And I'm sure their cleanliness and their professionalism extends throughout their entire facility. So if you're looking for a place in Teaneck or in the surrounding areas of New Jersey, Holy Name was definitely very good to me. So I give you that. So Girl in Town didn't like it very much, but that's what she did. Also, I appeared at Mahwah, New Jersey's Public Library, which is a fantastic facility. As a professional organizer starting out in my career before I got to the radio and lifestyle strategies, motivation, inspirational speaking, as a professional organizer, one of the things that I recommend to people is that the best way to keep your books is in a public library. I'm a big fan of the public libraries and a big fan of programming there for the community. I will support them forever. I appear at any public library who invites me to come and speak, and topics can be specialized for the audience on demand. But what a great facility. Big library, and the meeting room was fantastic. The acoustics were great. There was plenty of room for 50-plus people on Tuesday night, and we had a great, great experience there. So visit the Mahwah Public Library. In fact, they had a marquee out in front, which you're probably seeing in the slideshow on the show. And, you know, I thought, oh, finally, the eight-year-old girl inside of me who always wanted to see her name in lights is going to be up on the marquee. And it was just organized to declutter your life at 7 o'clock. So still got to work hard, folks. That's what it's all about. And that's what motivates me to keep going. Also, that evening, I did get to Mahwah early before the appearance at the library, and I went for some dinner, which I generally don't eat early before a lecture, but I was absolutely starving. I didn't eat all day. And I ended up at a place called Roxanne's, and it's an Italian restaurant in Mahwah. and I had an incredible, incredible dinner. In fact, I had their menu pulled up. What I had, I'm not going to be able to say it correctly, so I'm going to look it up anyway to share it with you and say it wrong. Maybe somebody out there can correct me. But their menu is online, and it's RoxannesRestaurant.com. And it was really, really delicious. They were great, seating me, table for one. There's a bar, a main dining room, and then like outside dining, which it's closed off in the winter. It's very, very comfortable. And again, the acoustics were good. I'm a big fan of good acoustics. If places are loud and echoey, I'm very uncomfortable and I don't go back. Well, they were very professional. They were very good to me. And I had the veal caprese, and it's a thinly pounded, crusted in herbed pecorino crumbs, sauteed in extra virgin olive oil, topped with arugula, kalamata olives, red onions, and tomato. I asked them to hold the onions because I was speaking, but I had that, and it was so delicious. Now, they offered me dessert, and I ordered dessert. Most of it came home. I took a bite because there was no way I was eating anything. This was such an incredible dinner. But I did order the cheesecake, and I am not generally a cheesecake fan. Their cheesecake was so delicious, and the portion was enough for four people, in my opinion. I took two bites. Fine. I took three, and I brought the rest home, and my son enjoyed it, him and his girlfriend. So it was really fantastic. So Mahwah, New Jersey, Roxanne's Restaurant, highly recommend it, and I will definitely go back. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Girl in Town learns that Roxanne's Restaurant may or may not have been the house, the farmhouse, that Joyce Kilmer would pass on his way from New Jersey to Suffren, and the inspiration for the poem, The House with Nobody in It. I'm going to read that poem, and then I'll tell you the story about why it's more significant to me, although Joyce Kilmer, a famous American poet, this was just so fascinating to me to land in this restaurant with this possible history, because I did a little bit of research and there's still some argument as to whether or not it's true. But this could have been the site and may well have been the house that is the subject of the poem, The House with Nobody in It. So Girl in Town got to visit a place that is possibly the inspiration for this poem, which is significant, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. The House with Nobody in It. Whenever I walk to Suffren along the Erie track, I go by a poor old farmhouse with its shingles broken and black. I suppose I've passed it 100 times, but I always stop for a minute and look at the house, the tragic house, the house with nobody in it. I have never seen a haunted house, but I hear there are such things. That they hold the talk of spirits, their myrrh and sorrowing. I know this house isn't haunted, and I wish it were, I do, for it wouldn't be so lonely if it had a ghost or two. This house on the road to Suffren needs a dozen panes of glass, and somebody ought to weed the walk and take a sift to the grass. It needs new paint and shingles, and the vines should be trimmed and tied. But what it needs the most of all is some people living inside. If I had a lot of money and all my debts were paid, I'd put a gang of men to work with brush and saw and spade. I'd buy that place and fix it up the way it used to be. And I'd find some people who wanted a home and give it to them free. Now a new house standing empty, with starring window and door, looks idle perhaps and foolish, like a hat on its block in the store. But there's nothing mournful about it. It cannot be sad and lone, for the lack of something within it that it has never known. But a house that has done what a house should do, a house that has sheltered life, that has put its loving wooden arms around a man and his wife. A house that has echoed a baby's laugh and held up his stumbling feet is the saddest sight when it's left alone that ever your eyes could meet. So whenever I go to suffering along the eerie track, I never go by the empty house without stopping and looking back. Yet it hurts me to look at the crumbling roof and the shutters fallen apart, for I can't help thinking the poor old house is a house with a broken heart. The House with Nobody in It by Joyce Kilmer. Now, the significance of this poem on January 10th of this year when I was in Mahwah at Roxanne's, which may or may not be the site of the old farmhouse that Joyce Kilmer wrote about, but it was most certainly close to it because it was on the path to Suffren from the area that he was traveling. This was my mother-in-law's favorite poem. I don't call her my former mother-in-law. Being divorced doesn't matter. She'll always be my mother-in-law. And she passed away in 1996. She would have turned on January 8th of this year. She would have been 97 years old. And she could recite this poem without anything in front of her. I had to read it, but she would recite this poem and she would get lost while she did. It meant so much to her to have a home. Her history, she lost her mother as a very young girl and all the kids were split up and she was raised for the most part in a convent with one of her sisters and the other children scattered about. So a home was very important to her and this poem was something very dear to her heart. So I had a very nice gift just after her birthday had passed and just before my birthday will show up, and I remembered her well as I sat there thinking, I'm sitting in the house that she always knew as the house with nobody in it. And now it's a restaurant and it's full of life. And it's not empty. It made me feel really very good and it made me remember her well. So that's Girl in Town, and that's been her adventures recently. And also today I left Long Island after kissing my grandsons over and over and over again. Two beautiful little boys born to two beautiful children of mine. And really, what a beautiful little family growing up. So Girl in Town's been busy and very happy. Let me talk real quick about a place I did visit. RX Express is a shop in Deer Park. Now, it may be considered Dix Hills, New York. I'm not quite sure. It's on Deer Park Avenue, and it's, believe it or not, it's one of the last of the great independent pharmacies. And she has some really interesting gift items in her shop, as well as an operating pharmacy, very big square footage, a lot of items, anything from infant to adult, and really nice selections of, you know, accessories, female accessories and children's things and little books and maybe items that some people would consider clutter in her shop, but really a nice selection of gifts, really worth a visit if you're in the market for gifts for people. Go visit this shop if you're in the area or make a special trip. It's called RX Express. You can visit her on Facebook. She's got a Facebook page, and go and see the goodies that she's offering and support an independent pharmacist. I'd like to see as many of them stick around as public libraries. So in the future, I would like to meet the proprietor and have her on the show because she's got some interesting perspective to share as well. That's Girl in Town. Any ideas that you might have? I've got plenty of ideas coming up for Girl in Town, and I'm going to be returning to a few of the spots that I've been to for different seasons of visit. So I'll keep you in the know on that and keep it busy. I've also made the decision that Girl in Town is going to do a big segment on the Grand Fondue and Fondue. I don't know how to say it. It's not a cheese dip. But it is a bike race. It's going to happen on May 21st. And on second week in February, I will start training for that race. I will be participating in the 100-mile race between New York City and Bear Mountain. So stay tuned for that. And if you would like to get involved, let me know. Send me an email at solutions@createneworder.com to join me in that bike race. It'll be pretty exciting. I've never done a bike rally. This will be my first one, so I know it's pretty ambitious. But training will start. I'll keep you up to date on how to keep yourself in check and in tune, and hopefully join us for that bike race. Now, the audience sat at the library last week, and we talked about decluttering. And decluttering starts between the ears. And our environments are a direct result of what's going on in our lives and how things are happening for us. And when things are going very well and moving along and routine and on schedule and without too many upsets, our houses and our lives seem to stay intact. It seems to me when we get upset by, an illness or a loss of a job or something strange happens, it just shakes us up. And our environment begins to suffer because really we go into self-preservation mode. We try to protect ourselves and we try to keep ourselves going to get through whatever it is that happens. So many things in self-care and self-respect go by the wayside and we don't pay attention to them. Or we simply get interested in other things and we don't have the same lifestyle we used to have. So our house doesn't have to be pristine every minute of the day. So maybe we should devote more shows and more segments to organizing, which I will write in here, because it's really important for us to understand, first, we need to give ourselves a break. We need to not be so crazy about how horrible we think our environment is. You're not alone. Many, many people right now are just trying to get through, and their homes and their environment are not the way they really would like them to be. So my suggestion is to take things one step at a time. Pick one thing at a time that you want to address. But what was brought up at the library, which is brought up in just about every single workshop and every single lecture and every single event that I appear at, is the question of what to do with the volume of things. Now, what was brought up the other night overwhelmingly was, of course, paper. And everybody has a lot of paper. Once upon a time, there were dreams when home computers became a reality that we would be a paperless society. Many people are. Many people are not hitting the print button. Many people are saving everything online. Many people are not keeping files the way the majority of people do. We don't need the volume of paper, and maybe a whole show needs to be devoted to this topic as well. We need to learn to use the computer to file copies of things. There are many things that we need to keep that, you know, many pieces of paper that are very important that we need to keep, but we don't need to keep what we keep. But we're going to focus on the top three things that were brought up on Tuesday night of last week. And they are collections, inheritances, and photographs. So photographs I'm going to get to first, because I'm basically going to throw that one to 3 weeks from now. Photographs, here at Create New Order, our recommendation is February is photo month. When people have volumes of photographs, whether it be a big giant desk drawer full of envelopes full of photos, or boxes of photographs, or photographs that are hanging on the wall that you really don't want to look at anymore, and what do I do with them? February is photo month, and the reason that Create New Order dubs February as photo month is because February is a rough month weather-wise, and February is a low month in travel. You know, a lot of people go to spring break and that kind of thing in Florida, but most people really don't do much in February. It's lousy weather. They keep their time off for good weather. So February, it's a short month, and you should be able to do this in a short month, is to devote the month to photographs. So the only thing I'll offer you in January regarding photographs is to do your shopping and to estimate what it is that you're going to need for the photographs that you think you want to keep. And there are many venues in handling photographs. You can keep photo boxes, you can keep photo albums, or you can digitize them. Digitizing them will cost you the most money if you hire a service to do it, but compared to photo boxes and photo albums, it is not going to cost you the money that you think it might. So So you might consider that as well. I love the photo frames that you plug in a flash drive with all your photos on it and they just continually roll. You can also plug that into a television when you have company and they just continually roll. And when you have family gatherings and there's photographs continually rolling on the big screen TV, people thoroughly enjoy them. So we'll get into more detail with that. So estimating the number of photographs is really what you need to do in January. So an envelope of photographs had a maximum of 36 photos in it. So if you have envelopes full, count the number of envelopes and multiply it by 36. That should be about the average number of photographs that you have. So once you know the number of photographs, then you're going to know how many supplies you're going to need. And that we'll get into in February. So your photographs, start looking forward to talking about them in February. That is what we're going to do here on Blog Talk Radio to help you get through the photographs that are taking up so much space in your life that are not bringing you joy. Believe me, if you're asking about them and you're overwhelmed by them, they are not making you happy. So we'll help you make some decisions on those. So we'll get to inheritances. Many people often come to see me or contact me to ask me what they are supposed to do with what they have inherited from other people. Meaning their parents passed away or an aunt and uncle passed away or their grandparents passed away. And all of their belongings came to them. This person now standing before me asked me, what do I do with this stuff? Well, unfortunately, you took it to begin with. And that's part of the problem is that once you accept it and you bring it into your world, it's part of your world. And you figure you're going to get to it. And that's not what happens. So my suggestions for things that you have inherited is to eliminate the things that have little to no value. Most people argue with me and say everything has value. Somebody paid money for it. It's worth something. Yes, it is worth something to somebody, but maybe just not you, not now. That's the first step in eliminating the things that are overwhelming you. What are you doing with it? Is it working for you? Are you working it or is it stored in your space, taking up space? I suggest to you that if you are not using what's in your space, it doesn't belong there. It doesn't matter what the value is. It doesn't matter what it meant to somebody else. If it's not bringing you joy, it shouldn't be there. So with inheritances, if you have a boatload of fine antiques or fine china, or fine clothes, meaning designer clothes, Armani and Oscar de la Renta and Versace, you have those items, call a consignment broker, call an estate sale expert, call an antique dealer and let them know what you have. They will come and take a look at these items or they will ask you to take photographs of these items and then you'll go and discuss it with them. It'll take a little bit of your time. But going and figuring out what these items are worth and how you can eliminate them or make a few dollars on them is worth the effort. But make the decision to do it. If you love these items and you are not using them, I challenge you and ask you, why aren't you using them? Use them every day. Oh, I don't want them to get ruined. Then you're missing the point. You're supposed to enjoy what you have. Your environment should be filled with items that bring you happiness that you use over and over and over again and share with the people you love. That's what it's about. You don't want those items in your life and you don't want to use them and they don't bring you the happiness to take care of them and use them well. Then it's time to really look into those resources and others to sell them and pass them on. There's always Craigslist and eBay and all the resale online avenues. But unless somebody is really motivated and willing to devote the time to doing that, it may not work for you. You may need to just go and find the dealers that will help you through this. When you have two or three dealers come in and take a look at what you've inherited and they tell you, you know, it's very marginal, it's really not worth that much, I'll offer you X, Y, Z for it, and you think it's worth more, rationally and reasonably think about this. Do some shopping online for the same item. Go to antique dealers that you didn't contact to come and give you estimates and go to their shops and see what things are worth. Antique dealers are going to need to make some money on your items, so they're not going to give you 100% of what they can sell it for, but they will give you a fair price if they're a reputable dealer. So seek them out. Seek out those resources for the inheritance items that you have in your life that really aren't bringing you any real happiness in your environment. As far as collections go, it depends on what it is. Is it a collectible or is it a collector's item? There's a difference. Collectibles were precious moments. I don't know what precious moments are going for these days, and I use that as an example because people collected them and they came out with mass production on these items. So there are many, many, many precious moments figurines available out there. So the value of those figurines are not as high as what you think they would be. If it's rare baseball cards, that's a collector's item. That's a different thing. There's very few of them, and they don't come on to the market very often. So certain things have certain value levels and availability. So when something was mass produced and you collected it, and many other people have the same type of collections, the dollar amount on them is not going to be as high as you might expect it to be. So pay attention and keep looking around. It may take a couple of generations for that item to be worth what you originally anticipated it would be worth. So do your homework as far as your collections are concerned. If your collections are in boxes packed away for safeguarding purposes, and you're not enjoying your collection, I challenge you and ask you why. Did you really buy them to keep them in boxes so they'd never be touched, so 3 or 4 generations down the road that they're worth something? Potentially the case, leave them there and make the space for it and don't complain about the space they take. But if they are giving you anxiety because they're there and you don't know what to do with them, it might be time to just pass them along. Find out what the values are. Do the homework. Find out what collectors will pay. Collections should be on shelves or in showcases where you enjoy them. If you spent all that time and money and attention in collecting an item, then you should enjoy it. Now, I have a few collections. Not many, but I have a few collections. I collect snowmen. I have snowmen, and my collection might be 25 of them, maybe 25. It's not a very big collection, but every single snowman comes out with the holiday decorations after Thanksgiving, and after Christmas decorations go away, all the snowmen stay out until just after my daughter's birthday in March because it snowed when she was born. There was ice on the ground. So that's winter for me, and it stays out that long. And the snowmen are around and hanging around my house where I can see them and enjoy them. And yes, occasionally there's been a break. Occasionally one has been lost to a dog because they thought it was a chew toy. The hat survived, so now we just leave the hat out like it's a melted snowman. But this is my collection, and this is what I enjoy. And it's not the end of the world if something happens to it because I enjoyed it. So if you have it, love it, have it around to appreciate it. If you don't appreciate it and it's too much trouble for you, it's time to pass it on. Collections can be sold, collectibles or collector items can be sold or given away. Share them with your children. Give them to the next generation. So there's many different ways to deal with the things that are cluttering your world. The idea is to deal with it. Or ditch it. Do one or the other when it's not bringing you the happiness that you want in your life. This is your life. This is your lifestyle. It can be anything you want it to be, not what you think it has to be. That's the point of CNO Solutions Blog Talk Radio, is to talk about what's best for you. So you think about, so you're motivated, which we're going to talk about next, and you're inspired to change your life to the life you want it to be. What's motivation? Motivation, it's the drive to do something. It's the reason for doing something. We're motivated to brush our teeth because we hate the dentist. We're motivated to comb our hair because it'll get knotty. We're motivated to clean our house because we don't like it when it's a mess. We are motivated to do things because of what? There are several components that drive us. They are the motivating factors of life. Some of those are freedom. We want to have a sense of freedom. So we declutter so we have a sense of freedom. And yes, folks, if you declutter your environment, you will have a sense of freedom. You will also have a sense of achievement. We are motivated by achieving things. When we achieve something, we get excited. We're all jazzed up. We feel great. Want to jump up and down. I did it. It's a great feeling. All these chemicals go crazy in our body and make us feel really, really good. Achievement drives us to do things. It is a motivating factor. Survival is a motivating factor. You know, fight or flight, when something goes wrong, we're going to survive. One way or another, we're going to survive. So we are motivated to accomplish. You know, when something terrible happens, we jump into action. When nothing is happening, we sit like a sloth. Think about that. Sometimes we have to kick ourselves in the butt. We have to create the reason to do something, to get motivated. So maybe finding your inspiration, finding your creative outlet will be your motivation to follow your dreams. Sense of belonging. A sense of belonging motivates us to work hard or play hard so that we belong to a group. I work probably really, really hard. I do work really hard when I am taking a dance class, and I work really, really hard when I'm taking tennis lessons or playing tennis because I want to belong in that group of people. I want to belong on that court when I'm playing tennis. I don't want to feel like somebody's having a bad game because I'm not good enough, and I don't want to feel like I'm not good enough. I want to feel good enough. I want to play with the right level of players, and I want to work hard to get to the next level. Compete against myself. It's a sense of belonging, and it feels good, feels safe, feels cozy, makes me feel confident, and it gives me a sense of fun. I love to have fun. Life can be really fun. Even on your worst days, life can be fun. We're motivated because we want to have fun. These are components. These are things that give us motivation. I want to have fun, so I'm going to get motivated to have fun. This is what it's about, building your lifestyle. Write it down. Get yourself a brand new journal and start working toward what you want in your life and enjoying it and keeping the momentum to keep going after the things that inspire you. I used to have a folder full of clippings out of magazines and books of inspirational things. And in fact, it was this magnificent, magnificent diamond bracelet. I think it was an heirloom piece. And I think it was either at Tiffany's or Cartier's. I got it out of the New York Times. It was an absolutely gorgeous bracelet. It wasn't even color. It was a black and white print ad. And this bracelet, I cut it out and I put it in my inspiration folder. And every once in a while, I would just look at that bracelet. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was this diamond bracelet that never in a million years in my lifestyle would I wear it, but it was gorgeous, and it just made me smile to look at it. Inspiration comes from all different places and can help us be creative. It can help us stay motivated to just have some fun, to learn something, to achieve something, to follow our dreams. Join us next week. On the 22nd of January, when we come back, and Girl in Town will have some Southern adventures to share with you. And hopefully we'll have a guest, and if we do, we'll send it out to you early during the week. Join us on Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock for Tell Me Something Good. It's a very short podcast just to share some bit of good news and positive attitude thinking for you. We will be talking in the next couple of weeks about the laws of attraction. It keeps coming up, keeps coming up, keeps coming up. And I know when I feel in my heart and in my mind the same way about what it is I want in my life and how I want my life to improve, it happens with the power of intention. So we'll be talking about that as well. Thank you for joining me once again. This is Jennifer Ryan. We are at Blog Talk Radio, /Create New Order for CNO Solutions Radio. You can catch us on iTunes just by putting in Create New Order. And www.createneworder.com is our website. Join our mailing list so that we can give you up-to-date information about where I'm going to be appearing, when products are coming out for your enjoyment and your use to create the lifestyle that you want to create. Get inspired, be motivated, organize your life. If you dream it, you can build it, you can be it. Once again, thanks for joining us, and we will talk again next week for CNO Solutions Blog Talk Radio. Have a good evening, and my coffee's done.